We are a nation of addicts. Every one of us, we're a nation of addicts. Not necessarily drugs or caffeine or alcohol, but most of us are addicted to possibly the most understated yet lethally destructive drug of all. Worry. Worry. And it's always someone's job to worry, isn't it? There's always somebody in a family who worries. And someone's told me that that's sometimes the mum's job, that mums, you never stop worrying. But this morning, we're going to look at a few verses in the Bible look at a mum who was worried at a moment in her life. So if you have a Bible with you this morning, if you could turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. So 2 Kings 4, and this is verse 1 through to verse 7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets called out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." The context when that woman was alive was that to not have her husband there and for her children to be still children meant that she had no rights. It meant that she had no voice. It meant that she was seen as a second-class citizen. And so any of those debts that were there, she wasn't able to go out to work because she was a woman. And in that context, she couldn't do that. So that's why they would have taken her children as slaves to pay off those debts. She would have been worried because she was worried for the life of her children, but also for her own life. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." That woman, that mum, she was clearly really worried. And we know that because in that culture and that context, it would have been an outrageous thing for her to do, to go and approach a man and ask a question. But especially because he was a man of God, he was known as a prophet, it would have been something that was really risky for her to do. And for me, that shows the desperation and the worry that she must have found herself in. You know, worry does strange things in our lives. If we're consumed with worry, it can affect our appetite. It can affect our lifestyle. It affects our desire to exercise, when the irony is when we exercise, it reduces worry in our lives. Worry can affect how we interact with people in our relationships. It can affect our sleep. It can affect our job performance. It can affect our ability to cope. Psychologists have said that worry suppresses your immune system. It can cause memory loss and even a heart attack. That worry can make us jump to conclusions, to think the worst, and it can expand our personal space so that we don't like being around people. And at its most basic sense, worry is the emotion that we can't fix it, that we're overwhelmed and there is nothing we can do to affect a situation. And it brings in either our fight or flight mechanism, or it brings in a sense of giving up and fatality. So in this moment of desperation, imagine this woman. She's lost her husband. She's lost all of her rights. She's lost her income. She's lost everything she has. And in her moment of desperation, in verse 1, she goes to the man of God and says, "I need your help." And maybe we today find ourselves in that situation. Maybe we find ourselves in a place of worry, in a place of not knowing the outcome of something. Maybe we find ourselves in a place of not knowing what the future will hold in our lives. The reality is that every single one of us at the end of our lives, when our lives end, we are faced with the question of what is next. Maybe that's something that worries you. Maybe that's something that you have anxiety about. Maybe that's something that actually you've never, ever thought about. But our lives can be so filled with worry. Yet there is one who knows our eternal destiny, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus speaks about the worry in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your lives?" Jesus says we don't need to worry, because if God cares for even the birds of the air, how precious you are to him. Every single one of you here today, you are precious to God. You are known by God, and he will provide what is needed in your life. But what Jesus says is quite stark. None of us can add a day to our lives by worrying. You know, worry adds nothing to our lives, nothing good to our lives. But worry is like a drug. For some people, you thrive off worry. For some of you, you are type A people. You sit on the edge of your seat. You thrive off the stress. You thrive off the pressure, when inwardly that can be killing us. When God is calling us to be a people who will trust in him no matter what. And actually, worry in that way that Jesus speaks of things in terms of the things of our life is true also of the worry about what happens after this life. Because it says in the book of Romans that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That none of us can do anything that will affect our destiny after we die. None of us can do anything. You know, religion tells us that we can. Religion tells us that if we turn up to church, that if we do certain things, that if we tick certain boxes, that if we behave well, that if we're good, that heaven is within our grasp. Yet that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The only way is through Jesus Christ. And it says in Romans 5, verse 8, "For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There is nothing we can do to affect our destiny other than trust in Jesus. So back in our passage this morning, the lady whose life is filled with worry, she goes to God effectively. She goes to the man of God and says, "I need the help of God in my life." And Elisha says, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." Let's put ourselves in the shoes of that woman at the moment. She's desperate. She's full of worry. She has nothing else other than this jar of oil. Her sons have gone and got all these jars. Maybe those boys brought them in, and she went, "What on earth am I going to do with them? I've got this little bottle, and that's not going to fill one of those." I wonder what she was like when she first poured it. If it was me, I'd have poured it really slowly and tentatively, and I'd have been looking at the bottle, and maybe the first one would have been filled, and then I'd have been like, is there anything left in that? And I'd have poured the next one. Can you imagine her as she pours it? Surely this must be it. And she looks again, there's still more. She pours, surely there's not. Eventually, every single one of them is full. What an incredible miracle. Maybe that was a level of her faith that she was so desperate that she was willing to give everything. Say, "I'm willing to have a go at anything in order to trust what God has said in my life." What are the jars in your life? What are the levels of your faith today? Are you willing to put everything out for God to fill in your life? Maybe you'd be someone who you just put one or two jars out and you tentatively pour, and you're willing to trust God with a small thing, but not everything. Or maybe you're willing to say, "Well, I trust God with a lot of things in my life, but I'm measuring the oil because I can only trust what I can see or what I can control." when God is saying, are you willing to trust me with everything today? Are you willing to trust me with everything in your life today? Are you willing to get more jars than are needed? And are you willing to trust that I have enough for you today? And you may be thinking, well, you don't know what my life looks like. You don't know the mess of what's going on. You don't know what's going on. How could God love me? How could God accept me? You don't know, and I don't. But God does. And God gave his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can have life eternally with him. Don't limit God today by what you can see or what you can control. Don't limit God. That woman was willing to pour into every single one of those jars. Are you willing to trust God with everything in your life today? What was the key moment for that woman? You know, she had all the jars, she'd been to her neighbors, she'd been to see the man of God. What was the key defining moment for her? It was the moment she chose to pour and believe. We can have all the jars, but we might not have the faith. You can turn up to church, you could have even been baptized, you could pray, you could read your Bible, but do you have the faith that God can transform your life today? Are you willing to take that step of faith today? Because I want to say that we have a God, and his name is Jesus, and he is willing to transform our lives. He can take the worry away from our life. He doesn't promise life will be easy, but he promises that he will be with us. But even more so, he promises that if we're willing to take that step of faith, that he will give us life. You see, for that lady, that oil was the key to life. It says in verse 7, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay off your debts. You and your son can live on what is left. The act of faith, the pouring of the oil, was the very means that she could sell and pay off her debts. When we take that step of faith in Jesus Christ, he paid off our debts so that we can have life with him forever. And I want to say today, if you've never taken that step of faith, if you've never taken the step of faith to say, even though I can't explain it, even though it's beyond my control, I choose to take the step of faith today that God can take my life, that he can take my worries, and that he will transform my life here on earth and also eternally. So why don't we stand together? Children, you can stand as well. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to take that step of faith today of inviting Jesus into your life, of saying yes to Jesus, I might not understand, I might not fully get it, but I want to take the step of faith today, then I'm going to ask you to pray these words in the silence of your heart as well. So why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the life that you have given me. Thank you that even though my life is a mess at times, that even though I worry, even though I look for things to be rational, thank you that you love me. And thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross and to rise again so that I can have faith in him and have life in you. Today I choose to say yes to Jesus in my life. Today I choose to take that step of faith. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would fill me and help me to live a life of faith. Help me, be my strength, and guide me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed. And if you